For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The 5 at 5 is brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. Jeff, the guy on at the end of the hour there that does that sports beat was talking about this, how the San Francisco Giants have come up with an idea for their season ticket holders. They're not going to be able to come to games this year, but what they will do, if the season ticket holder wants to send them a photograph of themselves, they will create a like cardboard image and put them in their seat. And so basically they can tune into the game on television and see themselves sitting there in the stands. Non-season ticket holders, I think, can pay like $99 and have it done as well, which brings me to if college football has to play without fans in the stadiums, would you, how much would you pay to have an image of yourself sitting in a seat at Sanford Stadium? Is that top dollar for you?
Absolutely. I mean, could I put one of those things called fat heads?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I guess a fat head, or I guess they would just do like a whole cardboard cutout kind of thing.
So like at the movies.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, $99, you'd do that?
Sure.
Tune in?
Sure.
I think this could be problematic, though, for college sports, because I sitting in here right now, I can tell you I don't know how much I'd pay to basically, like, if Tech offered this service, send them pictures of Kirby and just have that whole stadium, like, there'd be nothing but like Kirby sitting in every seat at Grant Field.
You could set yourself up for some major clowning on and pranking for your rivals.
Yeah. Like, someone could even be really mean to you and send Tech a picture of you, and you could be sitting there at Bobby Todd Stadium.
Hey, we're paying our money. Listen, we get to pick who, and well, although this is a year the game's in Athens, but a lot of our fans buy Tech season tickets.
Yeah, just for that one game.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're over there.
Yeah. But I'm thinking like at Alabama this year, just have a bunch of Kirbys all over that stadium.
Yeah, that'd go. We're gonna start a fire with those things.
Yeah. But I think that could be problematic when it comes to college football fan bases.
It could be. Well, like the thing, remember when Florida State did the Ask Jameis?
Oh yeah.
That was a bad idea.
That was not a good hashtag.
Yeah, once Gator and Hurricane fans found out about that.
Yeah. It was no bueno.
No bueno. And that's when, like, even if he was like a model citizen, like say Tim Tebow or AJ Green was.
Sure.
You wouldn't want, except for when AJ sold that jersey.
Yeah.
Shame, shame. Yeah, even then, I mean, you're just setting it up for your school's rivals to just get all over you.
No, I mean, like you said, even Tebow would have just been inundated with, I mean, heck, Georgia fans.
For sure.
Would have been in there just trolling him the whole time.
You remember
time.
When we sacked you 7 times?
Yeah. Ask Tebow. You ever see Aaron Hernandez murder someone?
Oh, my gosh.
But
yeah, that was a bad idea for Florida State there.
It was not good. And I something tells me if, like, I don't know, if colleges came up with this way, because, I mean, listen, it'd be a way to maybe get some revenue going, and because there'd be plenty of people that would pay, like, yeah, sure, I'll pay $99 and have an image of myself just sitting in a seat there, and I'll watch the game on TV, and I'm like, hey, look, there I am. But I could also see where you could have opposing fan bases infiltrate that, and it could be bad. It could go wrong.
It could go very wrong. By the way, on a brief little aside, my good friend Larry Edwards, who lives down on Lake Sinclair, He is in the photo. I know it was a loss. It was a horrible loss. But on AJ Green's touchdown catch at Colorado, Larry, he goes, I had to go to the bathroom, so I ran down, and I'm trying to wait till the end of the drive to see if we score. And when AJ catches the ball, you could just see my friend plain as day, just right there standing behind the fence when he scored.
Oh, yeah?
Like, that's really neat. And he wound up getting it signed by him. And
oh, that's awesome.
And A.J., but he is another one of those guys, you know, it's like with Nick and Sony and Roquan that, you know, you just – Andrew Thomas – You just never heard one bad thing about that kid.
Well, other than selling that Independence Bowl jersey.
Shame, shame.
Yeah.
It's like, really? What? Well, I think that all came out because he was accused of being in Miami.
Yeah, there was a party.
And he wasn't there. He was here.
Right.
It's like, well, we're here.
We're here. We might as well investigate.
It's like, no, you came here for that. That was also... That was kind of in the transition when we were between athletic directors, and that, you know, that was probably one where we should have just said, no.
Yeah, get out of here.
You came here for that, time to go.
Right. Or even at the point that they wanted to, like, can we check out AJ's bank account? Like, no, you can't.
No, you cannot.
But I guess that's how they found, you know, that transaction something.
That was just so... absurd, that whole thing. And but yeah, that's one of those deals. That's kind of like if the IRS, the NCAA, 60 Minutes, if they show up and they're if they don't catch you for what you're accused of, you don't want them hanging around.
No,
they're gonna find something.
But yeah, didn't they do that at like Ole Miss when they were there for Hugh Freeze, but they found stuff on a couple other sports too?
Sure they did. Yeah, they're women's hoops. Their women's basketball had like four coaches in 3 years. Yeah, when they start digging, I mean, it's bad news. A friend of mine used to be the USC women's tennis coach. And when all that stuff was going on, when Lance was there, and he had a player from Europe who had one of those phone cards. And she had obviously, calls overseas are very expensive. And she had like $1,500 or $1,800 on that phone card. I think it had gotten, you know, charged to the university somehow. The family wound up paying it back. So, you know, it was like, okay, all right, this is, you know, she shouldn't have done it, slash it was a misunderstanding, family reimbursed, you know, $1,500, whatever it was. Then all of a sudden you see on the scroll, you know, 2 days later, because of stuff Lance had done, and then going back to Reggie Bush, and then basketball for O.J. Mayo, it's like USC football, men's basketball, and women's tennis. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, how'd we get in there?
I'm like, wait, what are you talking about? So I texted my buddies like, oh, my God. You know, so now you're on the crawl for ESPN for something that was, you know, just a simple – misunderstanding there, and it was paid for, which then at that point it's like, well, if this thing got covered, does this really need to, you know, go public?
It wouldn't if it wasn't for Lance Kiffin and the other sports.
But I felt so bad for my friend. I was just like, oh my God, now you're on the crawl. You're there with Lance, and who was it? Tim Floyd, the coach there when they got Mayo?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah. I'm like, well, he had a girl make some long-distance calls and have the family reimbursed, but you're on the crawl.
The deal with Mayo is he was like going to Lakers games and stuff.
Right.
Right? He'd been like good seats.
Right.
Yeah.
Which that was – who else did we see that with? Maybe at some playoff games? Was it even like Tebow at a Magic game maybe?
Do you know what I'm talking about? Yes, I think it was Tebow, and it was either like at the Magic or he was at a Heat game or something. But yeah, it was like he was like courtside, and that was when he was still a Gator.
Right. And so, because Orlando went, was it 09 when the Lakers beat them in the finals?
Yeah, that would have been it. Yeah.
So that was going into his senior year. And that's why, you know, again, I don't care. I mean, but still, it was one of those like, you know, those seats for a regular season game are probably what? $1,000 a pop?
Yeah.
And for a finals against the Lakers,
right?
You got to think that was at least, what, 3,000-4,000?
Like, I'm pretty sure he didn't come out of pocket for those on his own.
No.
Yeah.
No.
That was like, yeah, sure, absolutely. You're Tim Tebow. Come on, come again, enjoy the game.
That's one of those things. I don't care. You know, if somebody had, and obviously I have no love lost for the Gators, but if there's some big Gator fan who knew the family, was like, hey, does Tim want to come along? Again, I really don't care, but it was one of those things where, like, how'd you get that seat? Or some of those, we always talked about it when Duke was playing, and all those players' parents would be in Maui Madison Square Garden,
yes.
San Diego.
They managed to make it everywhere.
Well, we just put them on the team plane.
Yeah. Or the ones that get, you know, jobs.
Like Tua's dad.
Yeah. I don't think he works there anymore, though. I guess he's moving to Miami now.
I would think so.
Yeah, he doesn't have to work now. His son will pay for everything.
Which is probably a wise move on his part.
All right, move.
By the way, do you know, where did his brother wind up transferring?
He transferred to Maryland.
Okay.
Because I guess the connection there is Mike Locksley,
okay.
Right?
Okay, gotcha, gotcha.
Yeah. All right, moving on to the 5-on-5. Speaking of, like, the potential for, cardboard cutouts of fans in stadiums this year instead of actual fans, when it comes to college football, how much does that negate a home field advantage in your mind? Like, honestly, like, if Georgia has to go to Alabama in week 3, but let's say there is limited fans or even maybe no one is in that stadium but friends and family and the players, is that a boost for Georgia?
I think the feel of it is just – it would be completely bizarre. And this morning when I was in pinch hitting on the morning show – one of those Korean baseball games was on, and it looked so strange having nobody in there.
Yeah, I mean, it really does.
It'd feel like a scrimmage to me.
Yeah, the thing that does help, because if you've watched any of the European soccer matches, is the broadcast will, has piped in crowd noise.
You have to do that because it would sound so dead.
Then it is like you're just watching two teams practice.
And I can just tell you this, that we got in a situation, Georgia Southern's baseball stadium, their radio booth is completely enclosed and they designed it where the windows won't open. They do have a mechanism where there's a crowd mic, you can plug a wire in, yada, yada, yada. That was at work in one game. And Dave and I are sitting there, and you've got no crowd noise, and I'm sitting there, well, do I need to take a station ID or wait till after the pitch? I'm like, it doesn't matter. I guess Cam Shepard was at the – Cam could hit a ball over the trees, and you're not even going to be able to hear it. So I would just have to do a Bull Durham and recreate, and it wouldn't matter. It sounded – we even had people tweet, like, hey, what's going on? I mean, it sounded like if you and I were just sitting – I don't know, like just in the studio, just talking.
Yeah, you guys honestly like that. You could have just stayed in your hotel that day and
for sure.
Called the game.
For sure.
Yeah, and just made stuff up.
Yeah, just made, oh, you should have seen this catch here. And so that's one of those, like, so if you're, and I guess was it Joe Buck who alluded to Fox had thought about that if there are no fans? Because it would sound so bad.
Yeah, he said they have plans to like digitize people so it looks like they're in the seats, but also the whole noise. Like the atmosphere and the noise is really, that is a key element, and it's made watching, because I watched when they first came on, there were a couple of those matches, it was strange, you could hear the players calling out to each other and it was just like watching a practice, but since they've put the crowd noise in the background, it really is like, it's not as weird. You're not really focused on the fact that it's an empty venue. So if it comes to that for the TV broadcast, I think that is a must. But
yes.
I don't know. I mean, but even for, the idea of like the impact of maybe losing a home field advantage, think about how tremendous the crowd was for Georgia last year in that game against Notre Dame where they kept false starting.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't get their act together. Maybe burned a few timeouts, but you're not going to – you'd lose that element. So
I would say from that game, Chris, if memory serves, and I might be off, I think the crowd essentially forced Notre Dame into 6 penalties and at least 2, if not 3 timeouts.
Yeah, in a game that ended up close.
Yes,
and,
it did.
Including, I mean, I guess on that right there at the end, they hit that big play and then got a false start, didn't they? So
yep.
They were a little bit behind the chains.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, there's the typical just travel to begin with and you're out of your element there that always contributes to things being different on the road, but not having to deal with like the crowd and the noise that sometimes could disrupt you, that could be big. But on the other side of that, maybe the officiating
will be
a little bit more level because they won't, they won't feel like I've got this stadium full of people booing me now because of this call. Maybe you might end up getting a few more calls or non-calls on the road.
Except over there, because you know who. You talk about being in their ear.
Yeah.
Oh, could you imagine the emperor now?
Well, and they'll really be able to hear him now.
Now, I'm finally able to tell you exactly what to do.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
You listen up. Finally, Jeff, wrapping up the 5-5 with Georgia. What are some of the bigger questions for the team in the season that are, you know, kind of hanging out there at this point now as we close in finally on the end of June?
I think, yeah, when you look at the number of players who accounted for Georgia's scoring that the Bulldogs lost, I think that's the big thing. You know, talking about scoring more points, and Kirby did not stand pat. And we all know the changes he made, bringing in Matt Luke, bringing in Todd Monken, and then obviously getting Jamie Newman. Is Jake Fromm's one of the best quarterbacks we've ever had. I'm not concerned about our quarterback play. I think Newman will be good. I'm not saying he's going to be worse or better, but I think he has the potential to be comparable. Where I really worry is left tackle and kicker. And I think we'll be really good at running back, but Swift made a lot of people miss. He was really a special, special back who could do a lot of things. I really do think, though, Chris, that this team, if we lose in Tuscaloosa, if we can find a way to win the games we're supposed to win and beat Auburn, basically be in that spot, can we be 6-1 going to Jacksonville? And then maybe, just maybe, that offense will be gelling by then. But the defense in the punt game should be really good. Kicker and left tackle are my two biggest concerns.
Yeah, I mean, really, to me, the Bama game is one that obviously Georgia will not be favored. And then after that, the game you really got to circle is that one against Auburn heading into the game at Florida, because the Gators are – I don't know. I think the Kentucky game for Florida is tricky, but it is at home. They'll probably win it. They do have they get LSU before that too. But I don't see Florida being any worse than 5-1 in that game. So
I agree.
You know, look, if Georgia goes in there and they do have two losses, if you lose to Bama, lose to Auburn, then you have to beat Florida, and you could still own the head-to-head there against them. But Georgia's schedule after that game is way tougher. So
I think the thing that Florida's looking at, if they can beat Kentucky, they got that three straight at Tennessee, home South Carolina, home LSU. If they go 2-1 there, then assuming they beat Ole Miss, they're 6-1. Then I mean, if they beat us, it's at Vandy, home Missouri, New Mexico State, and then the Noles. I mean, they ain't losing again unless Florida State gets them in that last game.
Yeah, but as far as just a, you know, conference game goes, like they're going to win the East if they beat us, because they won't lose either of those next two.
No, yeah. If we want some margin for error, we out of Kentucky, at Tennessee, South Carolina, and LSU, we need them to lose two of those.
Yeah.
But you'd also be enhancing those East teams.
Yeah. Their game at Ole Miss might
be tricky.
Might be tricky, too.
But we need them to win that game. Florida.
Oh, yeah. We don't need them coming in off a loss.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Especially 1-2 Ole Miss.
Just, it'd be reminiscent of 2014 when Missouri beat them.
Yeah.
We're going to kill them. And I'm just like,
all oh. right.
I remember you texted me that morning. You go, I'm sorry to inform you, we're going to lose today. I was in the group. And I'm like, I know, because the weekend before, my buddy Vance, we were down the golf tournament in Sea Island, was going on, the McGladrey. And everybody, we're not going to have any trouble with them, right? And we're both Munson and Dooley pessimists. And we're both like, oh, God. We're like, this just does not set up good.
Yeah, that's what I heard that morning, was like, oh, yeah, no chance Florida beat us. You see them last week, they got blown out by Missouri.
And Missouri had, I think it was 119 total yards, but they scored on, was it either 4 or 5 returns?
Yeah, in like several different ways.
Yeah, because it was like punt return, kickoff return, interception return, fumble return. I mean, it was one of those, like, you know, the first time it happened type trivia things.
Yeah. And some of they had like every sort of score except maybe a safety.
Correct,
yeah.
Correct.
All right, so that's the 5-5, brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.